stop it, and are the first to say, you know, I'll take responsibility for this, and even the admission for the error, then, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and generosity, will elevate those who do so. So it's a high practice to do so. The awliya, the arifin, the elite, all got to where they are from practicing such ethereal, delicate etiquette in their lives. Alhamdulillah. And also it's a sign of courage, shaja'a, and confidence that for the niyyah that we're doing it, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, forgives us, because we could have done probably that thing that, even if we didn't do it, we probably could have done it. And maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us the past or any future errors as such. And it's just proof that one can bear up with blame, because it also does happen that people get wrongly accused sometimes. So it's a good practice, inshallah ta'ala, one of these higher level of practicing etiquette, inshallah ta'ala. And also, in terms of looking at it psychologically, Sheikh Muhammad Hafizullah, he gave his wisdom on this, that if you're not capable of saying, I did it, when people blame you, then it means that you might have this problem of being on the defense. It might be an indication that you could break down psychologically. So it is a high calling. Unfortunately, in this culture, it's not something that is practiced or understood in any way whatsoever. But in Islamic culture, it was very much practiced and instilled amongst, I don't mean amongst the elite only when I say that. I mean, that was definitely part and parcel of their character, but even amongst the laity, it would be practiced, particularly in the tariqa. So, and then imagine whoever it is that actually did it, that person will love you. And again, it'll be, inshallah, an avenue for our faults to be covered, inshallah ta'ala. And ultimately, the truth always gets revealed for who still wants to pursue what really happened. So, inshallah, may Allah give us tawfiq in practicing some of these potent and ethereal levels of adab, inshallah ta'ala. Let me see what else we can mention. Okay, usually in these classes on etiquette, we would have large gatherings in Syria. Some of these we learned from the session Sheikh Muhammad Hafizullah used to have in his house when he covered Adab al-Suhba of Sheikh Sha'arani in Sham. So, and there would be large gatherings, and obviously many of the sisters would have sacrificed attending the class in order to either cook, clean, wash the children. And he would always remind them that they will be granted the reward of those who attended the classes. So this we should keep in mind. And obviously sometimes brothers too, those who need to show for people here and there, all the different khidma, you know, that needs to take place in when we run such sessions. We have to take into consideration everyone and all of it takes to put together. There's everyone's concerted effort, united effort in order to bring these kind of programs, wherever they are in the world, together. So, alhamdulillah, it's a great bounty for those who cannot class to know that they will be granted the thawab, a reward of those who attend the classes. So, and that way, alhamdulillah, everyone benefits. MashaAllah. Oh, I mentioned last week that, so one of the things to be careful about in terms of etiquette, and this is a severe warning to be careful of this. It's actually a colloquial Syrian saying, as I said, that jesting is a venting of the souls. بِالْمَزَاحْ تَشْتَفِ الْأَرْوَاحْ. Jesting is a venting of the souls. Meaning that whenever people get together. There is a danger if we become a little bit too informal. The danger is that the more we speak, and this is why the prohibitions of the tongue and the warnings of the tongue and what we can do if we prolongate our gatherings between people, the more apt we are to fall into these traps of the tongue. Because initially we'll get across what we need to say, the most important matters, and the danger is usually not there. Because first we're greeting, we're happy to see each other, and we mention the most important things. But the more we speak about trivial matters, the more dangerous it becomes for the tongue to be let loose. So this is why we've also been speaking about keeping quiet as well. So, and it's particularly in our preparation for Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. So, jesting is a venting for the souls, meaning that the more, and this usually happens only with informal friendships, that we will, there's a danger that we can mention things that will get us in trouble, that will go under, if that person is not there, riba, if they're not there, it still becomes a hurtful comment. If, for instance, we start off saying things that are neutral or innocuous, but then we continue on, and we need to something, let's say, from the past, you know, this, something popped in our head that, you know, this was annoying, that thing that happened last time I met this person, let me just, and obviously this happens within a split second. Your thought processes you don't stop to think about what your thought processes are. It's just released into the air, and next thing you know, you're probably regretting it. The person is hurt, and so what can it be? You're talking about something innocuous, all of a sudden you say something like, oh yeah, and by the way, that, what was that ridiculous outfit you were wearing last time? It could be something as innocuous as that. Meanwhile, you might not know that person is very sensitive. Let's say that outfit was given to them by someone, you know, like their mother or someone, a relative, and they had to wear it anyway. Maybe they also have the same opinion as you, but there's a reason behind it. So we don't think about all those things. There's usually reasons. People are doing something. But astaghfirullah, you know, this is, of course, amongst the laity who are not even attending such as this, they're not getting reminders like this, that beware of just sitting and commenting about what so-and-so is doing, and you know, why are they doing so? Well, it just astonishes the ears when you hear people do this, and you wonder, do they not know? There are reasons people have. There could be a multitude of reasons. Just think about what we're doing and how some things could look obscure, but there are probably reasons for that day why we're dressed so, or why we're looking funny, or why we said such a, maybe we're dizzy that day, or something came, or we forgot something. There's always